Blog Talk Radio.
Some people get their kick stomping on a train, but I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this final world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a prophet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn in the king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life. You know I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keeb. I'm your host, Joy Keeb. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeeb, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keeb. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is saturdayswithjoykeeb@hotmail.com. Well, that was the smooth crooner Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. You probably saw him on America's Got Talent. We're blown away as soon as he opened his mouth, from the first note to the last. Smooth, smooth, and smoother is, I think, the key word. His album debuted at number one on Billboard Jazz charts and top 40 overall. He's currently touring around the country. Good evening, Landau.
Good evening, Joy. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm happy to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So, this is just a crazy, awesome story. I was reading that somebody, you were away from your home, and this is before the show, and somebody literally, basically, almost stole your home, like the copper pipes. Talk to me about this.
My wife's stepdad died, so my mother-in-law didn't want to, you know, spend those nights in this big house way up in the holler by herself, because she's up in age, she's like 73.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to stay there alone, and my wife just suggested that we would spend a couple of nights with her, but as things went on, you know, a night turned into a week turned into a month, you know, and I was... We was up there for about a year, I guess, you know, and one day I was just like, I just want to go home and check on the house, because periodically we would go and check on the house, and this particular day I went home to check on it, and there was water running out of the driveway, you know. Somebody had went in and took all our clothes, all our furniture, the chandeliers,
all the
TVs, everything, the copper out of the wall. They just took everything, so that basically put me at rock bottom, you know. I was like really at the end of my rope.
That is just crazy. And before then, I read that you were homeless as a teenager. Is that true, or were you just like in a transition? What's the truth in that?
The truth in that is I was a young parent. You know, I had a son at 19 in Detroit, Michigan, with a young lady. And my family was deciding to move back to West Virginia, but, you know, I didn't want to leave now that this girl was, you know, pregnant and just walk away. Got married, and it didn't work out. You know, we both were just young, and, you know, and I had two sisters that were still living up there, but they were married, so I didn't want to be a burden on them. So I guess my pride kind of, like, kept me homeless, because I could have stayed with either one of them. But what I would do is I had this 74 Cutlass with swivel seats. I love this car. I mean,
yeah.
I practically lived out of the trunk, so I kept a pair of Clippers with me.
Okay.
And I would cut all the people's heads in the neighborhood in Detroit, Michigan, and I would play basketball until nighttime, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't on somebody's porch, I was playing basketball or trying to sing somewhere. And I would sleep in my car up under a bridge, you know. I'd just pull under a bridge anywhere and just go to sleep there and get up in the morning, go to my sister's house and, you know, eat breakfast with them and go over to my friend's house and play Sega Dreamcast with him. Until
this morning.
Okay. That's how my homeless went. I mean, I wasn't, like, eating out of garbage cans and that type of homeless. It was just my pride was like so much. That's all I had left, and it was just like I didn't want to ask anybody to, you know, to tell anybody that I didn't have anywhere to go, because my mom had moved back here, and I was, like I said, I was just 19, 20 years old, you know, a new father, and I just didn't know what to do, you know. So that's kind
of
how.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It happens. A lot of people don't realize. I was just telling somebody the other day how easy it is actually to be homeless, literally, if you don't have family. Like, say you didn't have your sisters or your friend to go play with or, you know, relax or at least wash up. They're
right.
Very easily, you know, somebody can be homeless. And a lot of young people are homeless, unfortunately. People don't realize. They think, you know, oh, they're just being lazy. But they really maybe not don't have any family, or they're running away. They're runaway in some cases, you know.
Yep. And that was basically my situation.
You did what?
I said that was basically my situation.
Yeah, so now let's get to the America's Got Talent. I mean, millions of people are interested in being on America's Got Talent. I mean, what gave you the idea to just try out in the first place?
That was a spiritual thing. All my life, since I was a kid, you know, I've been entertaining my family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up throughout the years, I realized that I had just been doing that all of my life. So it was not really hard for me to, like, get on stage and do it. It was just a matter of who was I going to let see it, and was I going to let them make a fool out of me, or was I going to make a fool out of myself? That was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, throughout all the years of my life, people have always been telling me, you need to go on America's Got Talent or American Idol or Apollo Amateur Night, you know, all these type of shows, but I just feared getting on there and being made a fool out of. But
right. In
my teenage years, playing basketball in the inner city, it was kind of dangerous. So on the court, instead of, like, trash talking, I would sing, like, Frank Sinatra songs. Like, after I dunked on you, I'd be like, fly me to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It would make people laugh instead of arguing. And a lot of guys would be like, man, you really sound like that guy. So by the time I turned 21, you know, people were taking me to bars and saying, man, I bet you won't sing My Way in this club. You know, it's a hip-hop
R&B.
You know? And I would go in there and get a round of applause from everybody because they didn't expect it. I would just go grab the mic and start singing Frank Sinatra songs, and everybody would just pause in their tracks. Luckily for me, here's where the spiritual part comes in. I thank God that no one ever really recorded me, you know, on camera-wise.
Yeah, because, you know, people steal stuff all the time and try to make money off of things, and you have to really protect your gift, you know. Thankfully.
Exactly. Or somebody could copy what you're doing and go out and make it big off of what you were doing. So I'm glad God kind of protected me in that way where, you know, it took me 35 years before I even got on that stage. And when they robbed my house recently, it was just like that was the last straw. I was really at the end of my rope. I had, like, nothing. I didn't even have clothes, so it was just
that's what I read. You didn't even have, like, had to go buy some shoes or something.
Right, so I'm like, I'm going on 36 years old. I'm like, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing. What am I going to do, you know? And my wife's crying, and, you know, we're sitting on our mother-in-law's bed, and I was just wondering, like, what can I do, man, to better my life right now? And I need it fast, like J.G. Wentworth. I need it now. I was just, and God just spoke to me, like, clearly as day. It was just a voice spoke to me and said, I've given you all the talent you need. I mean, you've groomed throughout the years doing all the charity work and going singing in the bands and doing the talent shows for your grade school and all that, entertaining for your family. You already got the skills. Need a bigger stage. And I was just stuck there, and I was just like, a bigger stage? What is this? Yeah, I didn't understand it. And then right at that moment, this is another spiritual thing for me, Howie Mandel came on the TV screen.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, that commercial came on, like, right at that moment. I got, like, this cold chill over my body, and he was like, are you the next winner of America's Got Talent? Do you have what it takes to be our next million-dollar prize winner?
You must have been freaking
out. Are you our next? Yeah, and that's how it happened. And I was like, that's it. That's the stage, because it's America's Got Talent. I mean, they're going to let me just be myself, you know?
Yeah,
and I thank that show for letting me do that, so everybody got to see who I really was, and then they appreciated the gift that I have from sounding like Frank Sinatra or having my own sound or what, however people view it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me play one of your songs, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, and then we'll talk a little more, okay?
All right.
The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
So, Landau, let's talk about how you met your wife, because that's a little, you know, funny love song there. You were working for her? Was she like a manager in a restaurant or something? So I was just trying to remember the article I read. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's like way down the line, though. But actually, my mother and her mother were best friends growing up.
Mm.
You know, and I knew her before I was taken away from her. I was taken away from Logan, West Virginia, when I was like 10 years old, going
okay.
on 11. Yeah, my parents split up in like, you know, I guess 83 or 82. And my mom decided to move us to Detroit, Michigan. So I went from God country to, like, Little Baghdad overnight.
Little Baghdad. Dang, man.
It was rough, but I thank, like, the whole city of Detroit for, like, giving me, like, that whole culture thing. I mean, it was, like, a big shock to me to see as many black people as I did. I mean, coming from West Virginia, only black people I was basically seen was, like, family and close relative friends, you know what I'm
mm-hmm,
saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or go to Detroit and see black people driving down the street in the Benz or, you know, seeing that stuff and seeing the hip-hop world and how the gang violence was. And I mean, it was just a whole culture shock for me, but, you know, I adapted to it, you know, and I swam up out of there.
You definitely swam up out of there. I mean, you're a hustler. I mean, I think that for me, that was what I was drawn to is you were a hustler, but in a positive way. You didn't go hustling drugs. You weren't trying to kill nobody. You weren't trying to rob nobody. You thought, okay, I don't want to be homeless, like digging in the trash. I'm going to cut hair. I'm going to use my gift. I mean, you used positive things. If more young people thought that way, you know, less gangs would have had less of a power over them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but because, I mean, even Tupac, you know, kind of taught me something without even meeting that guy. I mean, it's a lot of songs that he had that was, you know, bad, but he had a lot of good songs that had a good positive message. Like, and this is one that I took, is where he says, you don't have to be in jail to be doing time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be locked up to be in prison.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You could be in a bad circumstance. You could be in a situation that you're not, like, you can be in a bad job that you don't want to be doing. That's like going to prison because you're getting up every day punching the clock for somebody that you don't even want to be there for. But
you're
you
making
have
money
to
for them. You're making money for him. You're not making money for yourself. You know, I talk to my daughter
exactly.
about that. You know, make money for yourself. Like right now, she's about to start something, and I've been telling her since she was little. I said, you go to college, you get your degree, you get your internships and stuff. I said, once you get out of college, you work for yourself. You don't have to go work for somebody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
that's right.
That's
the same thing as being a drug dealer. I mean, all they are is like entrepreneurs, but they just don't have
yes.
the guidance to put it down
that's
in the right way.
That is so correct. People don't realize that. A lot of drug dealers, they're not stupid. They're very smart.
Right, right.
That's the crazy part about it. They got to be smart so they don't get caught. They got to be smart so that people will follow them and they know where to sell. They're constantly looking for new places. And the best, you know, buildings and corners and the best place to hide. I mean, unfortunately, that's what business people do all the time. They're constantly on the lookout for the best place. The best place, the best people, who will follow them, training them, what to do, what not to do.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
So what do you think your kids have learned from you, other than this perseverance, being a hustler? What else do you think they've learned from your experience?
I just think they learned that you don't have to just be something that people expect you to be right on site. Because you notice, like, when I went on that show, no one expected me to sing Frank Sinatra. They just stereotyped me, like, from the gate. They thought I was going to do reggae or hip-hop or R&B.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too. I was blown away. I was like, what?
Exactly. No one expected me to sing that. But I've been doing this, like, all my life. And fortunate enough for me, like I said, God just had a protective barrier around my craft to where no one ever seen it until I got to that big moment. It was 15 million plus viewers saw me all at once.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's it's great.
That's crazy.
I want to play another song. You did a duet. This is Baby, It's Cold Outside. This is on your album, Next Life. I also want to mention that your website is LandauMurphyJr.com, and you're also on Twitter, Landau Eugene Jr. On Twitter, so you can follow him. And I'm going to be giving away a copy of your album, a couple copies, if people want to follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter or become a fan on Facebook so that you can win a copy of his album. But this is Baby, It's Cold Outside, and you're singing a duet with Judith Hill, I think, I believe her name is.
Yeah, hit her up, y'all, and get that copy of the CD. I've told everybody and anybody in my life that ever asked me, like, if you ever make it big, who would you collaborate with? Patti LaBelle was, like, the first woman on my list.
Mm.
And Barbara Streisand would be cool, you know, Natalie Cole. You know, I just wanted to do it with some of those great people. I even like Queen Latifah now because she's doing, like, the little jazz singing thing, so that would be cool. But it's just a whole lot of...
Natalie Cole, definitely, and... Yeah, I mean, because I've seen you sing other types of songs other than like quarter stuff too. So your
voice is smooth, hold down everything.
Yeah, I mean that would be awesome. I mean, I'm just putting out in the universe. Look, you are blessed beyond belief, and you like listen to that inner voice. That's all I got to say because that's what led you to America's Got Talent. That's what led you to Patti LaBelle. You know what I'm saying? Like. That's an important key note right there. People need to listen to their inner voice, listen to the voice of God that's coming from them if you're believing a lot, whatever. Listening to that positive voice, it puts you in the right place at the right time. You know what I mean?
Because there's a whole lot of people that came into my life. I mean, close relatives and family members, you know, and close friends that I was, you know, stupid for doing. The crooner stuff. I should just go out there and do the hip hop or do what I do at my house. You know what I'm saying?
See,
I was
but like, you didn't listen to them. Thank God.
Right.
They didn't understand
the whole plan. Basically, was just to give all our grandparents something to watch on television and also let the younger generation see what good music was all about. You don't have to just be another stereotyped person. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the message I was trying to get across. And at the same time, I was pulling for, like, all of those kids on the show because I've been in a position where I wanted it so bad and I never had that outlet. And then a lot of the silhouettes had, like, illnesses, and they were, like, trying to win that money to, you know, get some treatment.
Yeah, to help Right. I know, it's hard. You're battling against, you know, different people, but it was your time, you know. It was your time. And you're touching people's lives now. Where are you going to be performing next?
In Morgantown, West Virginia. I got a Mother's Day gig coming up out there, and then I'll do, like, two or three more private events, and I got a book coming out, so I'll head out to New York Book Signing Expo May 31st. And then I'll head out to Florida, California. I mean, I got a lot of places lined up, and they're still working on them. So, and I'm trying to work on a Christmas CD at this time, try to bang that out. So I had that out around October to November or somewhere. And, you know,
well,
just
I heard that you did this album in like a week.
Yeah, I did this album in like 3 days, actually. And
oh,
then
my God.
Yeah, it took me like 3 days to do like all the vocals and everything. And then it took like a total of 8 days to have the artwork and the photo shoot and, you know, the bio and all that stuff put in there. It was on the shelf in like 8 days. So it was really cool, man. I went down there and just nailed it because I felt like they needed it right then. But now I'm just doing so many shows that I don't really have the time to like sit down and complete a CD. So I'm just working on bits and pieces here and there, and I'll just put out a nice traditional Christmas album, something on the crooner side, laid back, intimate, you know, for the fans, and then start working on that new.
Yeah, your new stuff. So where do you see Landau in like 5 years from now? Are you going to be out the country? I mean, I could see you touring around the globe. I mean, I don't see why that couldn't happen.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing like some tours with, you know, some of the top guys like Michael Bublé or, you know, Tony Bennett or, you know, a lot of these guys, they're doing like tours, and I could probably be like an opening act for these guys just to get my feet wet and, you know,
right,
pay some more that I'm owed to the game, you know. Everybody got to pay. I mean, I love it. I just love doing it. So whoever is open to those things, you know, I'm willing to do it. And that's just how I keep going. So in 5 years, I just see myself touring around the world. I want to go to, you know, the real bag.
Africa, you know, the real bag, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got, like, fans in Uganda, Israel.
Oh, my God, you would be big in, like, China, Japan? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
China, Egypt, Japan, Shanghai, I mean, just about everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Dubai, I got fans all around the world.
Oh,
and
my God.
Because
you'd be awesome out there. Out there,
yeah.
China, they would eat you up. They would love you out there. I'm telling you. I'm going to pray for you that you have continued success, for you and your family just continue to be blessed and listening to that voice inside of you. And I'm happy that you have been able to succeed. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful story.
Oh, thank you so much. And also, I just want to say to everybody out there that's listening, it's always good to give back, man, because the rewards are, like, so much better. I mean, when you give back, you don't really expect nothing in return. But like I said, I went on that show just trying to better my life. I didn't expect to win. I just went out there, shot, and God blessed me with so much more, even after he let someone take all the other stuff that was holding me back, I guess you could say, you know.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep right there. Yeah, things that were holding us back. Sometimes they get taken away. We don't even realize those things were holding us back, but you definitely listened to that voice.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Landau, for coming on tonight. And again, follow Landau. He's on Twitter. He has a homepage, Landau Murphy Jr., and also he's on Facebook, so check him out. You can find out where he's going to be touring next. And I got to stay in touch when that Christmas thing drops. You know, maybe you can come back home. We can play some of those, some clips from your Christmas songs.
Yes, right. You know, we can have a nice, intimate, you know, setting with all your listeners and do a live thing or something, you know.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. You got to come back and – you think you can sing a couple of notes for us tonight?
A couple of notes of what?
I don't know. Whatever you want to sing.
Well, my mother's name is Mona Lisa, so I'll sing that.
Okay.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art.
Yeah!
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Yeah. You have a
you
wonderful
will.
Evening, okay?
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Joyce.
I'm sorry, I think we got a little disconnected there. Hello? Okay, so I'm just hanging out with Landau Eugene Murphy. I'm going to be giving away some copies. Follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook so that you can win a copy. I'm going to play My Way from his album That's Life, and he's going to be coming out with a Christmas album, so keep an eye out for that and follow him on Twitter, check him out on Facebook, check out his homepage, Landau Murphy Jr. You guys have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for tuning in.
For what is the mind? What have we got? If not him.